RNZ National, Friday afternoon, and the last thing we do for the week is check in with Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation with our Native Critter of the Week. Hi, Nicola.
Good afternoon, Jesse. How are you?
I'm good. I've had quite a naturey week, actually. Earlier in the week, I chatted to a guy who was up a tree trying to save some 100-year-old native trees in Avondale in Auckland, and I went and visited him on Wednesday. It was pretty cool, about around 1924, I think it was, some guy decided to plant all these natives in this one spot in Avondale, and now they're 100 years old. The guy's up the tree because they're trying to cut them down, but there were some really amazing natives, Purdiri and Pohutukawa, now I should get this right, is it Maira? And the one, my favourite, is Te Tuki. Apparently one of the biggest examples of Te Tuki in New Zealand. The reason is because all these natives were so close together, they competed for the light, so they sort of shot up. So this incredible, majestic Te Tuki, it was so cool.
Oh, that's awesome. How long had he been up there, did you say? Oh,
I just went and visited him on Wednesday. They were sort of partway through. There were 46 100-year-old natives on this one piece of property in Avondale, and they cut down 23 of them. And so these guys have gone up and they're camping in the trees to stop them cutting down the other 23.
That is a cool, it's probably frustrating for the people who want to cut the trees down, but it has a long history in New Zealand of tree sitters. And I don't know if you recall, sort of the 80s and 90s and on the west coast of the South Island before we protected all the native forests from logging. The Native Forest Action Group were very busy up trees trying to save the things. And there was another woman in the States who was trying to save a beautiful tree, and she lived in that tree for like a year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah. This guy, he said, I'm not a protester, I'm an arborist, but I've had enough. I should be at home helping my kids with their exams, but I've just got to do something. And it was sort of, it was linked into a wider issue of the lack of protection for native trees, which we probably don't need to get into again, but it was just a really special chance to go and stand amongst these, 100-year-old native trees that happen to be in the middle of Auckland, a city which is desperately lacking in old trees.
That's really cool that you had a chat to them. I love a Te Tuki tree, but down where I live, particularly the hard frosts that we get, it's not great growing climate for a Te Tuki, so I'm glad you got to enjoy it instead of me. Yeah, the woman that I was talking about lived in a tree, a Californian redwood tree, for 738 days in the late 90s because she was so determined to protect this thing, and kind of, the tree became her friend. Yeah. I think there's something to be said for people who are willing to walk the walk, just stick up for protecting the things.
Yeah, I mean, without taking a political side on it, it was just, a guy who'd seen enough trees be cut down in Auckland and decided to put himself in the way. By the way, the one I was trying to remember the name of is Black Maire. Black Maire are the trees that apparently used to separate rangi and papa, and there are very, very few examples of those. He reckoned, the arborist I was talking to reckons you'd have to go to Taihape to find another one, so pretty special.
Wow. Maybe we should cover it for Critter.
Yeah. You are covering a kakariki today, or a
parakeet. I am. I snuck it in there. I know that birds are usually vetoed, especially very cute birds. And, we all love a parakeet or a kakariki. We obviously, I've talked to you before about the kakariki karaka, which is the orange-fronted kakariki down here in the eastern South Island, which is, by the way, the rarest forest bird in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Related to that is the Kermadec parakeet, or the Kermadec red-crowned parakeet, or the Kermadec kakariki, which lives on the Kermadec Islands. Now, we've talked occasionally about species that are found in and around the Kermadec Islands, but just to remind you, they are about 1,000 kilometres sort of northeast of New Zealand's North Island. So long, long, long way away. And what's really interesting in this beautiful little bird, and if you're familiar with kakariki, you know, they are named for their vivid green plumage, and then they have variations of little splashes of paint, it looks like, on their heads. And this kakariki obviously has a red crown, so it's beautiful red, like somebody got a paintbrush and just daubed it on top of its forehead to the top of its beak, and then a little bit of cheek blusher as well in the same shade of red. But these particular species are interesting because they are only found on the Kermadec Island group. And what I find fascinating about them was that they'd gone extinct from the main Kermadec Island, so that's Raoul Island, which is sort of the biggest island in the island group. The Kermadec Islands are essentially a chain of volcanoes, and Raoul is the largest. And
And uninhabited, right?
yeah, that's right. Currently uninhabited. We generally have our dock staff over there. We brought our dock staff back during lockdown, which meant that it was the first time that it had been uninhabited by people in a really long time. But unfortunately, in the 1800s, introduced species, particularly goats, cats, rats, two kinds of rats, meant that the Kermadec Island kakariki went extinct quite early. So the last records that of it breeding on the main Kermadec Island, Raoul Island, was in 1836. And so for, you know, almost 200 years, no Kermadec kakariki. But thanks to pest eradication, the species came back, and now they're doing so in 2006, Raoul Island became predator free after a series of eradications for those goats, cats, rats. And that meant that freed up the or made it safe for the kakariki to return, and now they're happily thriving over there.
A lovely story, a lovely story indeed.
Yeah, it's an incredible place. In fact, I was thinking about it earlier because you know how we quite often sort of have a bit of a skite about who's been to which places in New Zealand. And
I did
I'm
wonder if
very,
this was
very
coming.
well, I'm very, very privileged in that I have been through the Sub-Antarctic Islands. I've been to the Chathams. You've been to the Chathams. I have not been to the Kermadec Islands.
Ah, that makes it doubly important that I go.
Not that it is a competition, but it is a combination of a nature reserve and a marine reserve, which is really cool. You need a very a special permit to go there,
The
and it's
accommodation, I've got to say, doesn't look super flash from what I'm seeing on the satellite imagery.
no, that's right. It's you know, you have to be prepared to rough it, and you also have to be prepared to live very remotely for until you know the next boat turns up. But I think what's interesting about the Kermadec Islands, obviously being a series of volcanoes that popped out of the sea, they've never ever been connected to a larger land mass. And so what that means is that the species that have evolved there, both on the land and in the water, are often quite unique, or you know, have unique features to being located there. And we've talked, for example, we've talked about the spotted black groper before, and that's a fish that can grow to 2 meters long, which is found around there. We know that it's a popular place for green turtles, lots of other tropical marine species. And then on the land mass, it's like this sort of little life rafts of wildlife that is related to but not quite the same as the wildlife here on mainland New Zealand. So it's a pretty amazing and special place. It's also a pretty dangerous place. So obviously there are not many species that we list their threats as being getting taken out by a live volcano, but for the Kermadec kakariki, the major threat for the birds is that the Kermadec is obviously a volcanic rise, and the volcano is active.
Right, so
And so
its key predator is lava.
something like that. And you know, It is a bit of a situation of all our Kākāriki eggs in one basket, I think, because I'm not sure. I'd need to verify, but I don't think we do. We do have Kermadec Kākāriki in captivity. So, what's kind of neat is this is a classic science experiment of what can occur when you give the habitat the right treatment. And in this case, the right treatment was take away the goats and the cats and the rats and just let the wildlife do its thing. So the kakariki were existing 2 to 4 kilometres away on the nearby Herald Islands within the group. And as soon as the predators were removed, the kakariki came back. And we see that happen quite often with our island eradications and restorations, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it's a really dangerous place. When I took a job with Department of Conservation and head office working in the media team in 2006, I was about 2 weeks into the job, and we very sadly lost one of our rangers when
Yeah, I
the
read about
lake,
this.
the lake basically boiled over, and because the island was sort of was erupting, and we lost Mark at that point. And it was, it's a stark and very tragic reminder that in that kind of habitat, there are more dangers around than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, sorry to hear about that. Meanwhile, the Kermadec kakariki is thriving on the Kermadec Islands, on Raoul. And if you were to be pressed to rate the attractiveness of this parakeet out of 10, what would you say?
Ah, that's a trick question, isn't it? They are one of New Zealand's, our collective group of parakeets are probably some of our most attractive species. They're absolutely gorgeous. The sad thing for them, of course, is that they nest, particularly these ones, they nest close to the ground in little cavities. So places that are home to the things that like to eat them make it nigh on impossible for them to exist.
You see,
But
listeners, you see, Nicola is in a bit of a bind here because she knows that if she rates this parakeet above, say, an 8, it will immediately disqualify it as a critter of the week because pretty critters are not welcome.
So it's a 7. So there. If you are interested in the parakeets and the history and the weird and wonderful stories of the Kermadec Islands and their connection to New Zealand, I highly recommend that you read the book The Crusoes of Sunday Island by Elsie Morton, which was published in 1957, and it tells the story of the Bell family who settled on Raoul Island and in 1878. So and when I was a kid, I was always a big fan of Robinson Crusoe and Treasure Island and Swiss Family Robinson. This is a real life read about a family that settled there quite some time ago.
Good. Oh, wow. We should do a book recommendation at the end of every critter. That'd be a great new
Yeah,
feature.
that's true. Yeah, well, we have no shortage of those. So they are a beautiful wee bird and another stark reminder of why our wildlife is so threatened. We didn't touch much on the goats, but I can tell you that before they eradicated the goats, I saw some incredible photos of the goats on Raoul Island up trees. Tree climbing goats.
Amazing. There's some
Yeah.
cute photos of our parakeet, actually, including a group of parakeet who appear to be having a game of soccer. You can check them out on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Nicola, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Jesse.